Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and I've got a Christmas special. I'm going to be featuring my book, Santa Claus versus the Aliens. I'm going to be reading pages from that book. It's exciting, and I kind of got a little story to go along with it to actually let you know how I even came up with the concept of reading the book, and it involves my two granddaughters. But I am so excited tonight. I've been looking forward to it. I've been drinking a lot of red tea, just getting ready. And I mean, I have been so excited about my own Christmas radio show special. And next year, I'm going to actually have a musical. So tonight, as I read some of the words, I'm going to also add some soundtracks that I'd like to have in my musical. So I think you're going to really enjoy it. Special Christmas show tonight, highlighting the reading from my book, Santa Claus versus the Aliens, A Christmas Wish, with music selected for the show as part of the book reading. Tonight's topic, sharing a desire to stop conflicts between people who are different in the world. The story of a little girl's wish to end the wars and conflicts on her planet, which Santa has never been to, and whose people have never heard of Christmas or the man in the red suit. You will enjoy this classic version of A Christmas Tale. The main characters in this story are a little girl named Aramis, who wishes for Santa Claus to bring a complete Christmas to her planet and help stop the wars and conflict there between the green and gray people, who are the military and the business, and the silver and blue people, common everyday workers, and her parents. This book is starring Crystal Catherine Magic, who actually owns a bakery store, and she makes bullets out of fruitcake, and they shoot from ice cream machine guns. She's better known as KK. And the guy that she's so terribly in love with, the postman, who turns into Santa to go to the planet. And of course, you have to have a villain, the alien commander, who hates Santa. And he hates Christmas, and he just can't stand anybody. But of course, you have the Ice Princess, who is the person in Aramis's dream who tells her all about the planet Earth and this special holiday called Christmas and all the joy that it brings. I'm telling you, this is a story filled with love, moral character, and adventure. Finding a way to bring a complete Christmas filled with love to the planet where Aramis lives. You are really going to enjoy some of the music selections and definitely as I get a chance to read some of the story. So I'm going to open up the show with the theme song that's going to be for the musical next year. It also is going to be on the DVDs, and I just love it. It's called Inspire, and I think you'll enjoy the song, and it's the way that the show is going to open at my musical. So sit back and relax. We've got some time to enjoy each other, and I want to say happy, happy and Merry Christmas to everybody out there, to all my fans, my family, the special ones in my life who who I couldn't do any shows without, and especially everybody out there that I love so much. So without further ado, I'm going to play the theme song to what's going to be the musical track, and it's also my videos, and it's called Inspire. So sit back and relax, or if you got any children, pull them close to the phone and top your desktop, whatever you got, because you're going to enjoy Santa Claus versus the Aliens, A Christmas Wish. Now, the story goes that I was coming home one Sunday. My two granddaughters were in the car. Driving home for Christmas.
It's our last errand today, Jimmy. Just need to pick up some light bulbs.
Whoa, there's so many. Did Grandma tell you which ones to buy?
No, but check out the label on this package. It'll help us find the right bulbs.
Does it really matter?
Well, sure. The new light bulbs use a lot less energy, so we save money on our electric bill by using an energy-saving incandescent, CFL, or LED.
How about this bulb?
Now, let's see. We need to replace the 60-watt bulbs in our bedside lamps. That one is 800 lumens, so it should do the trick.
I've never heard of lumens.
Lumens tell us how bright the light is. The more lumens, the brighter the bulb.
You know, Grandpa, you're a pretty bright guy.
Yeah, you're pretty smart yourself, Jimmy.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov. That's energysavers.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Energy.
Have you been a good little boy? Have you been a good little girl?
Once upon a Christmas song, everybody sang along. You see the joy on every face, and the world it seemed a happier place. These songs brought us together, good time memories forever. Now I know what they mean and what they've given to me. I'd have never believed that we'd be singing them over and over and over again. Every December they get in our heads, turn them up, play them loud. Every Christmas should be the same, singing them over and over and over and over again. They say they're good for the soul, but someone tell me, I don't know why no one seems to write them no more. So the only way to settle the score is to all make way for a new one. Should be the same, singing it over and over.
has found its Xmas factor once again, and the lady responsible for this Christmas magic, Charity McQueen!
And we're back, and you're listening to the Don S. McClure Show, and I am the one and only Don S. McClure. As I said, I was in the car with my two granddaughters, and I had heard the song by Chris Rea saying, Driving Home for Christmas. And I asked one of my granddaughters, I said, how would you like for me to read Santa Claus versus the Aliens? And she said, I would just love that. So I pulled out the book. She sat back comfortably with my other granddaughter on my other side, and I started the story. Our story begins with a whole lot of chatter. It's 2 weeks before Christmas, and everything matters. Santa is busy with the smallest of details, from his list who gets what, no matter the size, the color, or item, for he knows their request comes from deep down inside them. The whole place is busy, as anyone can see, as they get ready for Christmas, full of magic and glee. The elves in the workshop are really busy too, as they make Christmas baskets for those who have less but deserve Christmas too. The butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker all have a big job to help prepare the Christmas feast that Santa, his wife, the elves, and all the workers will eat. The reindeers will have their antlers cleaned and polished. Their hooves will look so neatly shined and stylish. Everyone is happy with the job that they do, for Christmas is special, and each year seems new. There is a special place in Santa's village that no one remembers. It is the most important place that really matters. This place receives all the letters that Santa will read, with each wish that children want him to achieve. That special place is the post office, full of magic and glee. And inside, there's one man who gets all the letters ready Santa to read. The postman will go through each letter, one by one. And he won't let a letter slip by, not even for fun. So he can tell Santa what's on the list, and pack all of the toys and those special gifts. As he works through the night, sorting all the letters, a small piece of paper falls from a shelf marked Out of Space Letters. It's not on paper, but on what looks like a rag with a red bow and some sort of strange-looking tag. There's strange writing on the front of the letter, and it's addressed to Santa. My wish really matters. they looked at me with so much surprise. They were like, I really, really enjoy the story. Could you continue? Then I thought about, why not play the song for Aramis, who wrote the letter, by Whitney Houston, called One Wish. Looks at the return address, searching for a zip code and the name of who would write Santa such a Christmas wish with nothing to gain. At the top of the letter, on the left side as always, the address and name appeared clear as day for anyone to read. As the postman looked once, or maybe three times, the name and the address were not hard to find. The name was so different than any child's name he had ever seen. but he knew that letters came from faraway places, filled with cities that gleamed. It was the name of a child from a faraway planet, with no trees and no moon, not even a star to guide Santa and his sleigh as he travels so very far, far away. In fact, where she lived on this faraway planet, he knew Santa had no idea how to get there or how to plan it. A visit from Santa was not new, you see. From Santa with magic and trees was just out of the question. It could not be done. But he would have to tell Santa, for every request must be read one by one, so that Santa can say how the plan will be made. But such a wish, could it be done? Could Santa bring an entire Christmas for everyone? Now the time on the clock seems to be moving faster and faster as the time was drawing near for the postman to read the letters that mattered. Santa will listen to each and every one as he does every year, and he won't miss a one. Every year at this time, the year before, and the one before that, the postman would read each letter while Santa just sat. But the room would be filled not only with Santa and his helpers, but also Mrs. Claus, the reindeers, and all of the elves, the bakers, the butchers, the candlestick makers, and everyone who lived in the village came to the reading that took place each year to hear what special something the children wanted this year. Each letter had to be read, each and every one, no matter how short, no matter how long, no matter how many, each one set a tone. The letters were filled with Christmas wishes from boys and girls who wanted to share their own special world with family and friends and neighbors and teachers in every place where the joy of Christmas reaches. The excitement continued to fill the air as bag after bag of letters were brought there. Row after row of bags filled with letters now covered the room for the postman to read while the elves sang a tune.
Yeah.
Now, this was a job the postman had done for years, so he knew in his mind there was no room for fear. From the moment he started to pull the first letter from the bag and read it out loud, in the back of his mind was a strange mental cloud. He kept thinking about that one special letter, a special Christmas wish like no other. He would read that one letter last because of the content. He could not let it pass before all of the others. You see, it was a wish for Santa, but more like a plea. The time went by quickly, the postman pulling each letter from its bag. Each one had a name. Each one had a tag. They were sorted by city, by state, by north, and by south. They were sorted by country and by rural route. But each letter was pulled till the bag came empty, and the postman had read every one. The room was so full of merriment and glee, for the elves and the workers knew how busy they would be. They were ready to make every wish for each letter come true for every child. It was a very special and heartwarming tune. Now the postman stood before Santa with the last bag in hand, knowing one final letter was about to be read. He braced himself and felt his heart chatter as his mind said, "This one letter really matters." This was a Christmas wish like no other, but the postman had to read it to Santa, like all the others. He knew this wish came from the heart, but it was a wish for a complete Christmas that came from afar. He stuttered and stammered and spoke very softly, but he hoped that before he reached Santa, the letter would get lost. Maybe it would fall out of the bag, or maybe the reindeer would think it smelled sweet, and they would eat it as a great Christmas treat. Or maybe the elves would find it first and decide to simply send her a gift and a note thanking her for Christmas and her Christmas wish. After all, no one had ever asked for a complete Christmas, not in all the years the postman sorted the mail and read the letters to Santa. Each year was special, and the requests were never the same. But a complete Christmas was just so very strange. Santa looked at the postman and said, "What is the matter? It has never taken you this long to read a letter. Why? Is this one so sad? What could it say? Is it a wish for a child to receive parents, or a home or a car, or a new job for her father? That one is never hard. Is it for a brother or a sister who doesn't know what Christmas really means and can only wish for material things? Is it for a mother who lives alone and is praying for small things for Christmas for her one and only son? Tell me, my postman, what could it say? And why is it taking you so long to read a letter on this very special day?" The postman looked at the letter again and again, and finally, with a deep breath and a strong gust of wind, said, "Her wishes for a complete Christmas on her faraway planet. And not just a wish for Christmas, but a complete Christmas for every child living on it. She says there are over 1,000, you see, and she wants each home to have a Christmas tree, along with all the Christmas decorations and the ribbons and bows, and small angels of silver and some made of gold. She wants a star for the top of each tree, and trees made of real pine, not those artificial ones that you see. She wants candy canes made of peppermint for children to eat. She wants the magic of Christmas cheer and everyone singing Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to each other as they pass by, and snowball fights and Christmas lights, some that are near and others that are far. She wants her Christmas boots and puddings and pies made by each mother with joy in her eyes. The reindeer to fly across the sky. As Santa explained, Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. But her letter doesn't stop there. She wants Santa to come down each chimney where the elves use their magic and cautiously built on the top of each home, where the building is flat and sometimes tilted. She even asked for the Christmas Day parade to come down their main street while the children cheer for each beautifully designed float and their hearts skip a beat as they watch their unique Christmas. Oh, what a Christmas treat. She asked for a gift and a toy to be left for each child, because on her planet, they have never had a Christmas full of magic and style. End of her letter is one final request to stop the wars on her planet with everyone else. Letter had been read. The room was so silent. Everyone waited for an answer, for the plan of action that would come right behind it. They looked at each other to see what to do. They looked at each other and wondered, what was Santa going to do? There had never been a request for a complete Christmas ever. Could Santa make this wish come true even better? He had taken the joy of Christmas to every boy and every girl, in every city and country. Why, around the whole world. He spread the joy of Christmas to every continent, from Africa to Asia. No place was left untouched. But in outer space Christmas, this seemed a bit much, especially a planet he had never heard of, and to a place with no moon, and a place with no trees, and no chimneys, you see. Santa would have to bring a complete Christmas full of magic and glee. A complete Merry Christmas with voices of joy and eggnog and cider and all of the toys. And the most important item Santa would never forget, sharing the true meaning of Christmas and why it was set. He would have to make December 25th on this unknown planet become special for children and adults alike. No matter what they look like, no matter their color, Santa would have to make them appreciate and love one another. Because the last part of her letter was as plain as can be. She wanted the wars on her planet to stop. Santa looked at the letter that the postman gave him so that he could read her name. There it was, as plain as could be. Her name was Erebus, and she lived on the planet of Mysteria, far, far away from the North Pole and Santa's village. Santa looked at the postman, and he looked at each elf and all of the workers standing near a shelf. He looked at the reindeer and at Mrs. Claus, too. He looked at their faces and everyone that he knew. Then Santa smiled and said, "We will bring a complete Christmas full of magic and glee. We will bring everything that comes with Christmas, including the tree." The whole room cheered. Yay! They were laughter and smiles. They were ready to work for the joy of a child. And not just for one, but over 1,000. A full, complete Christmas would soon be upon them. And Santa shouted, "I have one more announcement to make," as he looked directly at the postman. "This one is different and unusual. You see, we need 2 Santas this year. One will be you and one will be me." Everyone looked at each other to see who Santa was talking about and who his double would be. They all started to shout. Santa shouted, "Why, the postman will be me. He knows all the children. He's learned all the routes. I will promote him this year to be just like me, with a beard in my stomach and my laughter, too. He will be able to say, 'Ho, ho, ho,' just like I do." Santa told the postman to close his eyes, and in a few seconds, much to his surprise, he turned into Santa after everyone counted 1, 2, 3. There in the room stood 2 Santas, full of magic and glee. Now, when the postman opened his eyes, he felt really strange. On his face was a beard, and it wasn't the same. He was no longer the postman, as everyone could see. He looked just like Saint Nick with the magic he would need. Santa explained that he could not be in 2 places at the same time. Since he had to bring Christmas to the world, everyone knew, he had to create a second Santa to take on the great task of bringing Christmas to the planet of Mysteria and to answer the wish for the child named Erebus. Santa told the postman to go into the world and find all of the people without home and no place to live, who could work, and who still believed in the Christmas spirit. He could give the postman a list of carpenters and those with other skills who could not find a job and those who would spend Christmas alone. Santa would turn them into magical workers, and they can remain in Santa's village if they want after the job was done. These new workers would work in 2 shifts, day and night, for a week until Christmas Eve, and they would ride on the sleds to the planet Mysteria and help deliver Christmas, all of the gifts. Santa also wanted to cut down 1,000 trees in the magical forest, where the special Christmas pines grow. Once the trees are dropped into the homes of the children, the workers will decorate them with Christmas ornaments, complete with a star at the top. Then Santa turned to his favorite reindeer, and with 3 magic words, he created a second one that looked just like it. And in fact, Santa created 1,000 reindeers to pull 1,000 sleds that would carry the trees to be delivered to the planet. Santa then turned to the postman, who turned back into himself and said, "On Christmas Eve, you will become Santa again and lead the way to deliver the Christmas wish to Mysteria. Now bring me all the information about the planet so we can discuss our plan of action."
Santa
Now, far, far away on the planet Mysterium, it seems that this sweet little girl is having a wonderful dream. A dream of a white Christmas with snow and icicles, too. She is dreaming that on her planet, this all would be new. Because where she lives, there has never been a Christmas, not even snow. Where she lives has no moon, not even a glow. Where she lives has no trees, not even a leaf, only flat-top buildings with sidewalks underneath. But in her dream, there is a Christmas full of joy and delight, and all of the children are happy at night. Oh boy, what a sight. There are stockings that hang in pine trees full of lights, and each house is decorated on the outside. Oh, what a delight. Seeing everyone merry and full of Christmas spirit in her dream. This all came true, which is why she sent the letter to Santa, because all these things he can do. He can bring a complete Christmas, and even the moon. As she sleeps in her room that is not very bright, she has this wonderful dream, and it comes every night. She sings of her magical world, and what a delight. In her dream, her parents try to make her understand that where she lives, there is no such thing as Christmas full of magic and lights. There is no Santa Claus who comes in the night. But each night in her room, the dream always is the same thing as Christmas, and it will always remain. In her dream, she hears the music. It is a song she has learned, and she knows every word. It is a song she loves to sing. The words come together perfectly to tell her parents about her dream in the magical world.
Christmas holiday.
Now every morning, before Aramis goes off to school, she tells her parents about her dream of a complete and merry Christmas on their planet, one that all of the children and everybody will share, young and old alike, and that she has sent a letter to Santa Claus, asking him to come and build a chimney on every building, no matter the size, so that he can come down and leave gifts and toys, along with a real tree made of pine. Every morning, her parents, especially her mother, tell her there is no such person as Santa Claus in their universe. There is no North Pole, and that it never snows on their planet, and there is no moon in their sky for this Santa Claus to pass by, while saying Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Her mother tells Aramis this is all a dream in her head, and that it would be better not to wish for something that cannot be said. So much that is not real and will never happen, you see, and that she will never feel or see this Christmas delight. It is all just a dream that comes in the night. There is no Christmas Eve, and there is no Christmas Day, and certainly there is no December 25th, because they don't have dates on their planet. Aramis puts her head down and replies, yes, Mother, but she still believes that Santa will answer her letter and grant her a wish. As she leaves the house, headed to school, she tells her mother, Santa will come. Her mother replies, oh, Aramis, please forget this. Aramis walks out of the doors looking sad, but in her heart she knows she is right to believe in Christmas with all of her might. Her mother looks at her walking away and starts to sing a song to maybe brighten her day.
If I could, I'd protect you from the sadness in your eyes, give you courage in a world of compromise. Yes, I would. If I could, I would teach you all the things I've never learned, and I'd help you cross the bridges that I burned. Yes, I would.
Now Aramis is in her classroom, sitting in her favorite seat. This day is going to be different from all the other days Aramis attended school. While Aramis was sitting in class in her assigned seat, her favorite teacher asked her to come to the front of the classroom. Her teacher said to the class, "Today we will share our homework assignment about what we think our planet can do to make it a better place." Student to share her view will be Aramis. Her last name is Legion. Aramis, you may begin. All of the students sat up in their seats, and the room became silent. Aramis began, "I have been having the same dream every night about how to make our planet a better place for all. I know most of you will not believe me when I say that there is a person who could change the whole planet for the better. His name is Santa Claus." And as she spoke his name, all the children in the class began to laugh and giggle. Even the teacher joined in the laughter. Some of the children almost fell out of their seats and onto the floor with laughter. After about a minute or so, the teacher said, "Okay, everyone, let's listen to Aramis and her story. You may begin, Aramis." Aramis began again. "There is a person who could change our planet, and his name is Santa Claus. He lives at the North Pole on a planet called Earth, far, far away from our planet. In my dream, the Ice Princess appears, who is made of ice and water. She is the first image of my dream, and she told me about this wonderful planet where every year the whole world celebrates a special holiday. It begins with a day called Christmas Eve, and the next day is called Christmas Day. This day comes into the month of December on the 25th. It is the most special day of the year. On Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, everyone has a great big smile and a happy face as they say Merry Christmas to each other, even if they don't know the other person. The children play in the beautiful white powdered snow, and they build snowmen and have snowball fights, and they slide on the ice down the streets." As Aramis relates her dream, she explains that she wishes for a better life on her planet. All the children and the teacher have become spellbound as they listen to the story of Santa Claus and the joy of Christmas. She tells the class about her letter and her Christmas wish for the whole planet. Aramis wrote, "Dear Santa, there are over 1,000 homes on my planet, you see, and I want each home to have a tree, along with all of the Christmas decorations and the ribbons and bows and small angels of silver and some made of gold. I want a star for the top of each tree, made of beautiful, real, green pine, and not those artificial ones that you see, with candy canes made of peppermint for all the children to eat. I want the magic of Christmas cheer, with everyone saying Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year as they pass by each other, and snowball fights and Christmas lights on each building where my neighbors live, and everyone passing by will say, oh, what a sight. I want a Christmas goose and puddings and pies made by each mother with joy in her eyes. I want the reindeer to fly across the dark blue midnight sky as Santa shouts out, Merry Christmas to all and to all a good night. But my letter does not stop there. I want Santa to come down each chimney that Santa's elves magically and cautiously built on the top of each home where the buildings kind of tilt and some are even flat. I know we can see. I even asked for Christmas Day, the parade to come down our main street while the children cheer as they watch each beautifully designed float and their hearts skip a beat. I asked Santa for a gift and one special toy for each child on our planet because they never had a Christmas full of magic and joy. And at the end of my letter, I made one final request, the wars on our planet with everyone else." When Aramis finished her story, there was not one small sound, not one student was moving, not even a frown. Her teacher was just as still as the students, you see. No one had heard of Christmas full of magic and glue. The looks on their faces said they wondered if this could be true, Was there such a day that everyone knew? Each child looked at each other and said, is there such a person who brings magic and peace in his own special way? Could we have peace on our planet and no more wars on this day? Could this person bring trees and gifts that make noise? Then the voices became louder as each child started to shout, I want a train. I want a boat. I want a dollhouse filled with tiny boys and girls. Why, even the teacher joined in the request and all of the noise. Could this Santa bring all of these things without leaving a mess? This teacher regained her composure and settled her class. It was time for the students to leave and attend another class. She asked Aramis to remain while the others left. The teacher asked Aramis to sit in her chair. But behind her dark glasses, she asked, Aramis, why did these dreams begin? And why did this ice princess first come to you in a dream? Aramis replied, it started 4 months ago when the weather was cold for one whole day and no one knew how to chase it away. Turned back all sunny and bright, and the air was so warm right through the night. I was in my room, fast asleep, when a strange-sounding voice told me to awake and see Christmas on another planet full of magic and gloom. There was a joy on my planet for everyone to see. Yes, and the wars would come to an end. No one wanted to fight because friends became friends all in one night. The teacher told Aramis to go to her next class, but not to talk to anyone about this, for others might not understand. Because on their planet, there were no others, you see, who believed in the wars and wanted them to be. They were the warriors of Mysteria, the military might. They enjoyed doing battle. And they enjoyed a good fight. So all of the children were getting ready to leave. They thought school was something that they really needed. But they understood the joy of what Aramis was saying. And they wondered, could Christmas come and save their planet? Now the day had come. It was Christmas Eve. Everything had to be done and was ready to go at 9 p.m. Everyone would leave the village for their destination. Santa would go to the earth and all of its cities. Now, every building would be touched so that on Christmas morning, every heart would have cheers and everyone would feel that Christmas was really here. The postman would go to the faraway planet, Mysteria, and there too, everyone would know Christmas had arrived, but someone made a wish that Santa could hear. Everyone was checking their list. There were 1,000 magic pine trees that would open and become full of light, complete with Christmas decorations, a star at the top, and white angels, and candy canes all around. The chimney workers were ready with their tool belts and magic bricks, and would paint and build a chimney on every house for Santa to come down. The toy soldiers were all round up and ready to go with their ice cream machine guns, snowy fruitcake bullets. Each one had a special load of fruitcake bullets that would explode and stop mysterious warriors from preventing them from entering each home. Every fruitcake was filled with happy magic, which would turn all the warriors happy and filled with joy and friendly feelings, so they would stop the wars against one another. When the big clock struck 9 p.m., everyone would leave to spread Christmas cheer. Something strange was happening on the planet, as strange as can be. All of the mothers were baking cookies to leave for Santa, you see. Every house and every child was getting ready for bed early. Why, never had this much excitement ever been seen. Everyone had an expression as if they were starting to believe that Santa was coming along with a tree. Some of the children had made stockings from strange glue to hang on the wall for their houses, they knew. This all was so new. Some had written letters to leave by the tree, hoping Santa would leave all sorts of things, things that would make their parents happy, and the children too. But they were starting to think Christmas was about sharing and feeling all new. Some were making up songs. Well, how could this be? For there had never been a Christmas for anyone to sing. Yes, the planet was changing every second that went by as time came closer to Christmas, even in the sky. As the parents looked out of the large window, the air seemed to change. It was becoming unseasonably cold. They looked at the gauge that told them the weather. They looked at each other and asked, how can it be? The temperature outside had never gone below 110, not even at night. But as minutes went by, the temperature fell, and no one knew why. Even in the city, where all the businessmen lived, and the military, too, no one knew if this could really be true. Was an invader on his way? Could he be bringing something called Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day? Could he bring a moon and the stars and the wind that could blow? Could he change the weather on their planet and fill it with snow? But how could this be, since Mysteria doesn't have a calendar or months or even trees? There is no December, and there will never be. Sound the alert, the commander cried. We must be ready, you see, just in case this Santa tries to bring us a tree. Throughout the entire city, the alert went out. I want extra guards, the commander shouted, just to be safe and ready, you see. We will stop this thing called Christmas with all of its glee. One of the soldiers looked at the commander and asked, are we looking for someone who's dressed in red and maybe someone who rides on a sled? The commander replied, I don't believe in Christmas and what has been said by this child about her dream of a man dressed in red. But if he does come to our planet bringing all this merriment and glee, and if he has with him more than 1,000 trees, we will stop him dead in his tracks, because there is no such thing as Christmas, and that is a fact. Now all of you, and I do mean all of you, get to your posts. We will watch for this Santa. We will watch the sky very close. Back on the earth, the postman and everyone else was waiting and watching the clock. The departure time was getting closer as the minutes passed. It was 9:03, just before the time, with everyone ready to perform this wonderful deal. There stood all of the toy soldiers and the carpenters, too, along with all of the helpers and special elves who were blue. Each one was ready for this special trip with the postman, you see. There would not be a slip. There in a line was a wonderful sight, more than 1,000 magical pine trees ready for night. Each item, every ribbon and bow, and every angel was all ready to go. Everything Aramis had asked for was going to be delivered. She would have her first complete Christmas Eve and a full Christmas day. Santa knew it would be hard, but it was on its way. Aramis wished for a complete Christmas, and her dream was about to come true. The commander said to his crew and all of his ships, "Fire on Santa, fire now." And they sent out bullets and cannons and things that were tall. And as they fired at the postman, was just inches away, something strange happened, and it was very strange. In fact, it was very strange indeed. Just as all of the mysterious ships fired on the chimney, and it seems as if it was the end of the postman and Aramis' dream of Christmas, the postman's girlfriend, KK, showed up in the biggest sled anyone had ever seen. She had turned the moonlight rays toward the mysterious ships and bullets so they could not hit the chimney or the postman. And as everything hit the large sled, it caused a large explosion. Boom! But not only did mysterious bullets off his sled and flew down the chimney with all the special gifts for Santa and for Aramis and her family. When he reached the bottom of the chimney and came out, there was little Aramis standing in front of the tree with her mother and father. They had been awakened by the explosion. When the postman saw her and her family, he said, "You now have your wish. I wish you a merry, merry Christmas." After saying his special words, he held out his hand and blew fairy dust into her eyes and the whole family. They went back to sleep and would not remember they had met Santa. But before he left, he took the cookies and milk with him and left a note for Aramis under the tree. On Christmas Day on the planet, Mysterio woke up feeling strange. Everyone was saying Merry Christmas to each other, and they could feel the love in each home and every building, and every person felt warm. The warriors went to each home, telling everyone that at 10 o'clock that day, there would be a Christmas parade, and that every business had made a Christmas float, and that the mayor of the city and the governor of Mysteria wanted Aramis to ride on the float with the image of Santa. All of the soldiers put on their best uniforms and marched to the Christmas Day parade. The special float stopped at the stand where Aramis's parents, the governor, the mayor, and all the leading citizens of the planet were waiting, and they proclaimed December 25th as the official day of Christmas and December 24th as Christmas Eve on the planet from now on. They also proclaimed that Christmas would be celebrated every year. Everyone cheered. Hooray! Now, Mysteria celebrates Christmas every year, and there are no more wars between the people on the planet. Everyone was happy, except one person who said, "Oh, I really like that story." And just think, I read that to my granddaughters. So next year, we are going to have the stage play. And I'm telling you, it's going to be exciting. I got to take a break and get a quick PSA in. And when I come back, I got a few more minutes of great music, but I really enjoyed reading Santa Claus versus the Aliens, A Christmas Wish.
I was leaving an exercise class.
All of a sudden, the pain started. My entire chest, shortness of breath, very fatigued,
nauseated. Thought that it was nothing much, maybe just stress.
You're having a heart attack. I'm healthy. I'm young. There's no way it could be my heart. No way. Heart disease doesn't discriminate. Listen to your body. Go get checked. Heart disease is the number one killer in women. And this is something that we can fight.
Visit GoRedForWomen.org to learn a woman's risk for heart disease.
Well, that's going to be it for me on a Friday. I've got one more track to play called Sleigh Ride by Alexander O'Neill. And I know you will get your tickets next year to see the beautiful musical, Santa Claus versus the Aliens. We're going to have great talent, great singers, great dancers, and I'm telling you, you're going to want to bring the children and sit there and cry with little Aramis. And yes, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day now exist on the planet called Mysteria, all from a little girl's wish to stop the wars between the people on her planet.
Thank you.
And that's it for me. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I'll see you next Friday on the 1st. It'll be a new year, and I am so pleased and so proud of all the support I've gotten. Happy New Year and Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Don't be like the alien commander. I hate Christmas. Share love, and I know you can do it. I just know you can. So I don't know what to tell you. I just think you need to just have a ball. Just get out and do something. Just enjoy whoever you're with and enjoy the Christmas spirit. That's what I tell you. Let me find my last track. I've had fun. It's been really nice. It has been a gas. So I guess I'll say goodnight. I was looking for Luther Vandross track.